Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes, indeed. What's up? Our fourth and final hour of Sports Talk. Welcome in. Mark Menard back at Master Control. The big guy, voice of the Saints, Zach Strieve, kind enough to give us the full hour. He's with us now. And Zach, how are you, my man?
Christian, I'm doing great, buddy. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm good. How's your family? How's the newborn?
Family's doing good. Porter's getting big quickly and sleeping through the night. And
all right.
Man, we got no complaints. He's been a fantastic baby.
And what about Ray with the Redneck Riviera?
Ray's having the time of his life, man. We had swimming lessons the last couple of weeks, so he's, you know, we're a little bit of getting out of the house, which has been good. And Ray's doing great with those, and he's a typical 2-year-old, right? He's mostly good days, some not so good days, and lots of fun around the street house.
I can't wait to see to meet him. I cannot wait.
Oh, he's a piece of work now.
Oh. I'm sure. I want to meet him. Anyway, nonetheless, let's get into some sports, shall we? First off, the NBA. Zach has targeted July 31st as their restart date, and it looks like they're debating on what the restart is going to look like, but it feels like they're going to have 20 teams to restart, and the Pelicans being one of those 20 in a potential play-in format or if they start the playoffs. But I think they're certainly worthy of being one of those teams invited back.
Well, it's good to hear. I think, you know, with how that team, you know, the excitement around that team, it makes sense with the way that Zion was playing. You know, if you're the NBA, and remember, this has to be considered with all of these, is, you know, you have an abbreviated NBA season, same with Major League Baseball. You're going to have to find ways to try to recoup some of that revenue. It's no different than any business, right? It is simply a business, and I know for fans it's not, but for the teams it is. And so, you know, getting your superstars into games is going to be important, and as many as they can, you know, the better. So I think it makes sense for them to find a way to get New Orleans in there, to, you know, to get as many, you know, top flight players as they can into those games. And you know, it'll be good, right, just to see sports again, and certainly for those guys and the work it takes to get ready for a season and to not lose it completely will be good. And, you know, really more than anything, it's nice to just kind of see this slow trickle back to, you know, a more familiar way of life coming back to us now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It gives us, you know, more hope, and I think that's what we need more than anything right now is hope. Zion Williamson, how anxious are you to see if he can pick up where he left off before this pandemic caused the league to shut down?
Well, certainly there was nothing about his start in the NBA that has, you know, extinguished any of the expectations that were on him, you know, when he came into the league. I think he has performed every bit as good as you could have hoped for as a Pelicans fan. And really, you know, the entire team, considering, I think it's very easy to forget where this team was and where the fan base was 9 months ago. And so, you know, to see all the things that happened in the offseason after the Anthony Davis trade, and then, you know, you kind of get back to you know, to seeing your young superstar, the guy who you feel like you can build around, you know, getting to see him play again and seeing how he continues to develop and, you know, can he continue to grow? Does he kind of stay the path that he was on, which was, you know, honestly, in some regards, an almost historical rookie season for Zion, you know, in spite of the fact he missed all the time. It's exciting to see, can Brandon Ingram pick up where he left off? There's a guy that, you know, a lot of people were – there was a lot of big question marks about Brandon Ingram and whether he could be healthy and you know, whether he could really contribute at the level that, you know, was expected of him. Being a number two overall pick. And so, you know, suddenly now Brandon Ingram is a max player. And so, you know, you've got possibly your one and two, you've got the facilitator. The team really is exciting because I think people see the potential of it now. And so it's not just about getting to see Zion, but really this entire, the entire roster get back on the court and see, you know, if they can make another improvement, you know, in this kind of abbreviated ending to a season.
The voice of the Saints, Zach Strief here on Sports Talk. And, Zach, we'll get into some Saints stuff and more on the NBA. But a couple of years ago, you followed the Hanville-Andrew Robinson case pretty closely and what came of that. And I know it piqued your interest a little bit, learning about the LHSAA, having not necessarily played under the LHSAA, not being from Louisiana. And now – the LHSAA is now investigating 12 schools. It went up to 12 for holding illegal practices on campus. And I think you read the story I posted online about they're investigating. But are some of their allegations are they legit? And one school in particular, Holy Cross, they've got the LHSAA is trying to condemn Holy Cross for holding practices when it's two professional football players and three college players that are working out on campus. And if you look closely, you can clearly see how big one of those guys are, and they're clearly not high school players. But if that's their evidence, if that is their evidence, Zach, how does that make you feel?
Well, you know, I mean, as you kind of talk about, I did read the article, you know, it's the same kind of, you know, with the situation with Hanville, in that when you have any form of governing body that seems to have absolute power, the system in place has to have a lot of checks and balances to ensure that there is a fairness to the process. And I think that was a lot of people's issue with that situation, is it didn't feel like that occurred. There's a lot of secrecy in the LHSAA. There's a lot of you know, there's not a ton of transparency, and that's a really dangerous thing in any governing body. And so, you know, with something like this, if you know, again, I have no idea what they have or what evidence they've presented, or if this is simply an investigatory, you know, mission to see if something had happened. But yeah, if you find out that there's a grainy picture and there's, you know, human beings on a high school campus, and you know, some football coaches held accountable for it without any actual proof or evidence, you know, that's obviously disturbing. That's something that you don't want to have happen. If you've got players that said, yeah, that's where we were working out, I can guarantee you, you know, if I had been in that situation, and I very well may have, if this had occurred a couple years earlier, where, you know, I'm working out at some high school and all of a sudden the high school's in trouble for it. I mean, you're willing to kind of do anything and everything you can to try to avoid that. You know, someone's kind of doing you a solid and giving you a place to go and work out and continue your profession, and then suddenly being penalized for it is awfully disheartening. So I know there's, you know, you're right. The deal last year was the first kind of introduction for me into the LHSAA and how they operate and some of their shortcomings and failures that have occurred. And, you know, more than anything, you hope that, you know, that the grown-ups at some point take control of the situation and either acknowledge, you know, hey, this is the information we have and it doesn't rise to the level of an infraction, or we don't have enough evidence to actually prove it, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, you know, that maybe we don't have an investigator that can properly even figure this out. I know that was one of the things that kind of blew my mind last year, is, you know, you're doing quote-unquote investigations with, you know, former school administrators that aren't really qualified to do that, that haven't been trained to do that. So, you know, you hope that there's been changes made and that things have been done to change the process. Because I do think it's, you know, was generally unfair, and you know, we'll wait and see. I mean, obviously this is kind of early on and just beginning, and, you know, the LHSA has a chance here, you know, to do things a little differently, to have a little bit of transparency, or, you know, it can be business as usual, and then the criticism that comes their way is completely warranted.
Yeah, Zach, I think that out of the 12 schools, I think I'd be willing to submit and acknowledge that the LHSA is probably going to have legitimate gripes and findings on half of those schools, on half. Mm-hmm. But if I know the LHSA, like I think I do, they're going to try to punish all 12 of those schools. I mean, regardless of how good or weak their evidence is, that's how they operate. And that'll be something that we can pay attention to as it unfolds, when it unfolds. But just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Before we go to our first break, you're a business owner, man. How has these days challenged your business and some of the things you guys have had to overcome?
Well, I think we're in the same boat as a lot of people in that, you know, you have to rethink a lot of the things about how you've operated in the past and, you know, in what way can you, you know, make things work in spite of the new realities. You know, we're a manufacturer. Ultimately, we were allowed to continue manufacturing products, you know, throughout the shutdown. And yet, you know, two of the ways that we sell beer, and quite honestly, the two ways that we actually make money selling beer, which are in bars and restaurants and out of our tasting room, you know, so it's, you know, certainly been a challenge. It has not been easy, and you know, we're a long way from being where we were before this started. I'm very proud of our company. You know, we found a way in the midst of all of it to help other people out. You know, we kind of stumbled into it. I talked about it on this show. Had a huge outpouring of support from former teammates for us to go and cook meals for, you know, for people that were in a bad place and people that were struggling, and, you know, service industry people was kind of where it started, and it, you know, transformed into really anybody in the neighborhood that needed that. And, you know, we've been doing about 2,000 free meals a week now for 6 or 7 weeks. We continue to do that. We've given out over 50,000 meals in groceries to people who either were testing positive for COVID but being sent home to kind of wait it out, or people that were being discharged with COVID to try to keep them out of grocery stores and kind of out of harm's way for those people who were working, you know, really on the front lines in grocery stores. So we found a way to do a lot of good, but, you know, it hasn't – at the end of the day, we have to make money at some point, you know, in order to survive. And so – you know, that transition is just beginning here, and we'll see kind of as these phases come back in and as people, you know, feel more and more comfortable, hopefully, you know, those revenue sources open back up. But it's certainly a challenge. It's not just for us. It's for everybody that has that type of a business. And, you know, we'll continue to do everything we can to make it through it. And I think really it's just going to take, you know, some confidence in people to step back out of their houses.
Zach, I'll give you a peek behind the curtain a little bit. You have about your kids and what it's been like quarantining. I got mine right now over with me, and I was inside earlier doing the show, and I tried to talk to him earlier. I was like, hey, let's try to keep the noise to a minimum. Yeah, right, okay? and then so here I am trying to host a radio show and also govern the behavior of two boys that are playing the PlayStation and who didn't get a turn and who has. So I decided to turn up the volume, and I'm outside right now just doing the show outside, so nice. I don't have to hear the noise. I'm watching them from the inside, and I'm sure something's going on in there that I'm going to have to go in and take care of when we go to a break. But, yeah, it's an interesting time, that's for sure.
No question. Listen, it's doing all of this, how we're doing it right now, is makes it a little bit more interesting, and I'm sure that I'm sure that the volume levels are not always accommodating to doing a radio show from home.
No, I'm outside and they're inside, and I'm going to have to go find out who did what here in a second. I'll do that right now. We're going to break. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, hanging out with the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief. And I settled it, Zach. I handled some business, man, between my boys.
Nice.
I got to the bottom of it. Got to the bottom of it. And you know what the bottom of it was? Both of them saying, he did it.
Yeah, that's usually what's at the bottom of it.
That's what awaits you, by the way, all right, with your two. That's what awaits you.
I know.
Hey, so the Saints schedule, the preseason schedule has been finalized, and we got the schedule as well. The Saints are going to be breaking in, opening two new stadiums, one against the Rams in the preseason.
How about that?
Yeah, and one against the Raiders of Las Vegas in week two. Have you been a part of a team that's opened a stadium, and what's that like?
No, I've never opened a stadium. Not that I can recall. What are the most recent new stadiums?
Well, you got the two that are going up today, this
right,
year.
Right, sure. There's this year's. There, you know,
Minnesota. Like you didn't help. You didn't open. Yeah, you did open that. You opened that stadium, the one in Minnesota, the Monday night game.
I think it was their second year there.
Was it? Okay.
I think it was.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd have to go and look, but I think it was their second season in that building. Listen, here's the thing. I mean, it's no different than going to the new stadiums. They're so nice, right? I mean, they're really crazy that what they're doing in the stadiums now is so cool. So there's certainly a lot of looking around and you want to check it out, and you know, there's certain things that I think are considerably better in new stadiums, like sound systems. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in those new stadiums. So, you know, there's a lot of looking around, but it's probably no different to be in a reopening, like in an original game opening, than it is to just go your first time. Right. So the first time that you play in Cowboy Stadium, you're going to go you're going to go sit on the bench and look at the giant screen and look around and check out the end zones and, you know, why do these people buy suites behind the bench at ground level? And, you know, you're going to do all that stuff every time you go somewhere new. So the stadiums, it's a cool part of playing, to have that type of access. They're just really neat places, right? I mean, you don't often get to walk in a building that is designed for you to go and work in. The amenities and the things that they have in the new stadiums really are mind blowing. There's an entire city underneath the Cowboys Stadium. I mean, literally roads and stoplights, and it is crazy. So all very cool to see, and I'm sure that both of these will be no different. I would imagine the stadium in LA is going to be a complete. I think that's going to be a really, just fascinating place. And then, you know, the Oakland Stadium looks like Darth Vader's helmet. I think somebody started calling it that.
They're calling it the Death Star.
The Death Star. So very cool, you know, all really neat. I'm sure the guys will enjoy it. And, you know, then the ball gets kicked off and you completely forget your surroundings and that the Jumbotron is big. Those things go out the window pretty quick.
Don't challenge me on my Star Wars stuff, man.
Sorry. Yes, I know.
You know, it's the Death Star.
Or Mark. I know. Trust me. I have no confidence. I did the other day. I was scrolling through. We got Disney Plus. We got the kiddos.
And is it worth it?
I wouldn't watch it in general if I didn't have a 2-year-old. I've seen every movie on it. I feel like, except for The Mandalorian, which I was like, okay, that's a good one for me. I'm going to watch that one night. Charlotte goes to bed about 9, so I'll check that out one night when she's asleep, 4 hours before me.
Zach, if you look at this roster here lately for the Saints, they've turned it over, and of course Noah Spence getting injured, but they added another offensive lineman. Man, how many offensive linemen does the team need? I mean, it seems like they're collecting them. The depth there, the battle there is going to be incredible to watch.
Yeah, it's in today's game, it is the most difficult. It's the most difficult position outside of quarterback to find coming out of college football. And I think there's an acknowledgement there, and I think that there's been a huge commitment to shore up the offensive line all the time. I think when you have an offensive line that is elite, you've got a shot. You're going to be competitive no matter what. You're going to your offense will function. And I think, you know, with some of the unknowns coming down the pipeline with Drew Brees, you know, eventually, you know, retiring, it's happening eventually when, you know, you have big decisions to make with guys like Alvin Kamara. And, you know, when those types of things happen, if your offensive line is as solid as the Saints is, you feel good that you can kind of keep on churning. So, you know, I love the James Hurst signing. You know, it's a guy with starting experience. He's 28 years old. He's got, I think, the biggest thing, and I'm sure this was a huge part of it for the Saints, he's played and started at left guard and left tackle. And so you've got a guy there, you know, who can step in if Teron goes down, you know, and get a chance to leave Andrus at left guard, where he's certainly more comfortable and where he has played better. And it just brings in a little more competition. You know, it's hard to see James Hurst and Patrick Omame make this team together. You know, it's hard to see how that works, and yet you have two good veterans that are battling for a position. That's a great situation to be in as a team. And, you know, I really like the signing. But, yeah, training camp is going to be a battle in the offensive line room for sure.
Am I wrong to read anything into how many offensive linemen they're having? But not only that, but the style that suits them, as to thinking that maybe Sean – is going to shift to a little bit more of a power running game?
No, I think we've been running a power running game for about 5 years now. I guess
run more, rely a little bit more on the run.
No. No, I don't. I think, listen, Sean's going to do whatever is functioning the best, right? And if Drew Brees continues to play at the level that he's playing at, then I can guarantee you that the passing game will be more efficient than the running game. Now, that being said, you need a running game. You need to be able to do that. But I think what this is really saying is, you know, they want to have depth. They know that they're going to have injuries. They know they're going to go through periods where, you know, guys are banged up. And you can look over the last 2 years, this offense, when the offensive line is healthy, has been absolutely dominant. And when guys start getting banged up, suddenly you start seeing some chinks in the armor. And, you know, it would be nice to be able to say, hey, you know what? I know you could play, but at 75%, you're not as good as the backup option is. And a lot of times that hasn't been the case. You know, a guy that is really banged up has still been the best option. And so, you know, you're not getting as much performance out of your offensive line as you want. And when you grow accustomed to it, it's hard when it goes away. When suddenly, you know, the pass rush is getting there faster, when the holes aren't as big, you know, it's a little bit more difficult. So I think it makes sense for them. I think that that collecting offensive linemen, you're not going to go into the year with 12 of them, but you're going to come out of camp with seven guys, eight guys to go on to game day and feel really, really good that no matter what happens, you've got the horses up front to run the offense that you want to run.
You got a pretty darn good coach in Dan Rauscher to make it all work, that's for sure.
Yeah, Dan Rauscher's great. He's got a great system. You know, it was fascinating to get to be with Dan in his first year as an NFL offensive line coach, and then watch what he does today. You know, he was an offensive line coach in college for a long time, but he has really developed not only a system of how we play, but also a system to develop young guys. And I think he's second to none. You know, Brandon Nugent, who's his assistant in the offensive line room, is. You know, we're counting the hours that we have left with Nuge. He's going to be grabbed up by somebody here soon, another super talented coach. And so, you know, you've got a room with really good talent, but you've also got a great system. You've got great teachers. And both of them have made that such an inviting room to be in. And, you know, I think, you know, you saw it after they signed James, you know, saying, man, I just you watch that offensive line play and it's like, man, that's a good group. You know, and I think that people have a lot of respect for what Dan Rauscher has done with the offensive line here.
He's one of my favorites on that staff in terms of just pure out ability and also just willingness to be a human being. You know, he's just a good dude. I like him a lot. All right, we'll step away and come back. Zach Streif, the voice of the Saints here on Sports Talk on WWL. Zach Streif, the voice of the Saints, stopping by Sports Talk, spending some time with us. I'm Christian Garrick. Zach, if there's one thing that we need the most, and that's hope right now, and here we are getting to see NASCAR return, golf return, soccer returning in the NBA. And right now, I think that's – it's hard to say this, but I think it's good for our mental health. It just is, having sports return.
Yeah, I listen, it's not just sports, right? It's anything that is familiar, right? Charlotte and I got to go on a date for the first time last night, right? Went out to dinner and just sitting down at a table somewhere that isn't your house was helpful, right? I mean, it just makes you feel a little bit like, man, it's getting back to normal. And, you know, sports do a lot of things for people. That, you know, there's and especially right now, you know, with as many, you know, difficult situations that our country's going through, a little bit of relief from that is important. And I think even more than that, a little bit of unity, a little bit of a shared, you know, a shared singular focus, something that we can, you know, kind of all get behind is good for people. And, you know, sports have done that for a long time. They've been a unifier for a long time. And, you know, in moments like these where, you know, something as difficult as what we've been going through is happening, it becomes even more prevalent. But yeah, all of these returns to, you know, what we know as being normal are important, because I really do think that the mental side of the quarantine was as damaging to people as, you know, the financial aspect of it and the, you know, the health aspect of it. It really, I think, when you look at this long term, there's going to be a lot of things that happened that, you know, are hard to tie exactly to it, but that were ultimately negative effects of the whole situation.
Having said that, Zach, I don't know how closely you followed the MLB return or possible return thereof and the haggling over money. And Scott Boras, a prominent agent in the MLB, is telling players to not take the pay cut that ownership has proposed. And I get it. I understand all of it. And I'm typically pro player in a lot of these disputes about labor or anything like that. But given the day and age and what everybody's going through and the amount of people that are unemployed, is the MLB Players Association drawing too hard a line in the sand about the money that they're willing to play for this year?
I think one of the things that the general population doesn't see a lot is just how cutthroat real high-end business stakes are. This is no different than what is happening in the world of paper goods and who can undercut who, because they know now is the time that they got to get all the product out. And, you know, it's not all butterflies and sunshine in the business world, especially when you get into businesses that are dealing with the kind of money that professional sports are. So the different thing, the unique thing about professional sports is that it's all very public, and that people have a connection to a product that doesn't feel like a product, right? So you don't feel connected to Gatorade, but you might drink it. Right. But you don't feel emotional about it. It's never made you cry. You know, you don't feel like it's a part of your life. It's just a drink that you drink. And so, you know, whereas sports are different, you know, sports do create that. And so it creates a different type of emotional feeling. But, you know, for me personally, to ask anybody to not play business because of a moment is probably a little bit short-sighted, and you're probably not getting the full picture from anybody in terms of what is really happening, because, you know, ownership also does not necessarily always play nice, right? And even when there's easier ways around situations, or, you know, it's not always like that. And so I think it's important, you know, it just is that this is why labor unions exist. There's a negotiation that occurs, and at some point, you have a choice in any labor union, and that choice is to accept the terms that you have been able to negotiate or to refuse, you know, to work. And I would imagine that at some point they will come to terms and they will make that decision and they will move on. And that is how labor unions work. And that is how collective voice works when it's negotiating with management. The unique thing about pro sports is that it brings the consumer element into it, which doesn't exist in those other labor unions. So I think it's just part of the process. I think it's a long-winded way of saying that. I think it's part of the process, and when it's all said and done, there will be baseball games, and those guys will go and play, and they will have negotiated terms that both sides ultimately agreed to.
He's the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief. I'm Christian Garrick. We will wrap up Sports Talk next here on WWL, AMFM, and .com.
I don't know.
You got to love him.
Oh, yeah. Winding down here on Sports Talk. Zach, before we wrap up the show, just kind of want to give you another peek behind the curtain. So my youngest son, Holden, comes out. He opens the screen glass door, and he says, well, I'm trying to think how I can put this on the radio. He was just warning me of how it might smell inside when I walk in.
Ah.
Yeah. So that's what I got to look forward to. You know, that's
house,
what I'm.
House of boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think you catch the drift quite well.
I see where you're going with it.
Yeah. What do you think the Saints home games will look like? What do you think it's going to look like this year?
I think early in the year, there's going to be a limited number of people in the stands. I do think that, you know, we'll probably have a better idea in another couple of weeks. We'll kind of watch how these phases go. I think it's undecided still. But I think that they will limit the number of people that can be in the dome early in the season at least. I do think there's a good possibility that by the end of the year it gets opened back up on a larger scale, but I do think there's going to be some restrictions. But I also think that, you know, they're going to wait to make that call till pretty close to game time. So, you know, there's still a lot of time. I think there's still a lot of unknowns and a lot of questions, but I do think that there'll be a little bit of an abbreviated crowd in the stands.
Do you think there's going to be reporters allowed to go in locker rooms?
Probably not. I don't think so. I think they'll probably have to be a different way to do that. They'll probably, you know, make more guys available and you know, probably bring them somewhere. You know, that idea of that many people in the locker room in general is, you know, you know it's tight as it is, and so. Mm-hmm. You know, in this environment, I think it'll probably be more of, hey, we're going to send 10 guys to the podium instead of three. And you know, that way they can control a little bit better, you know. And quite honestly, even the press room, you know, if you take the Superdome, you know, that those press conferences might not happen in there anymore. It might get moved into the, you know, into an area that's large enough to accommodate, you know, more people. So, yeah, I think all of that stuff, every single aspect of it will be, you know, looked at and addressed.
Yeah, all right. I agree. Zach, thanks so much for spending the hour with us, man.
Hey, man, I enjoyed it. And, you know, Mark, too. I didn't get to hear Mark, you know, say anything tonight. But, you know, it's always good to know that he's right there. So, and you as well, Christian. And good luck walking back into your house.
Thank you very much. And a big thanks to Mark Menard at Master Control, along with Stephen Geller, for helping us put together the program. And our executive producer and program director, Diane Newman. I'm Christian Garrick. Everybody have a great weekend. Semper Fi. I'm out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.